950 at the 4 o'clock hour. Brett, Sam, and Kate with you. Sam, good to have you back again on a Monday. How you doing in there?
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing good in here. Later on in the show, I am going to talk trash about St. Paul. Not in that sense. The trash issue, of course, in the city of St. Paul. Have you been seeing a lot of signs as you've been driving around and delivering pizzas in that area of people supporting the ordinance or saying, no, we should repeal it?
They are everywhere, yeah.
Yes, I imagine so, yes. I don't get a lot of opportunities to head over to St. Paul, but this issue has kind of fascinated me. So we're going to open that can of worms towards the end of the show and see if we get a lot of people from the east side calling us with their opinions on this trash collection issue in St. Paul, because it is very, very hot button, and there has been a lot of money invested on both sides. So that vote will take place, of course, a week from Tuesday, as well as some other very important local elections that we'll touch on as well around the metro area, including this oddly very competitive mayoral race in the city of Bloomington. So we'll touch on those in just a few minutes here on the program. But I want to start off with a couple of quick-hitting national and, well, international headlines. So over the weekend, of course, we, the U.S. military, that is, killed al-Baghdadi, who was the head of ISIS. And this kind of goes to a theme you guys were talking about in the last show of how, well, we need to be better as Democrats and those as liberals. And I've seen this sentiment from some people with this issue that are typically Democrats or call themselves liberals, where they say, well, you know what? I don't like Donald Trump, but we need to give credit where credit's due. And he was able to kill al-Baghdadi. Well, this is interesting as I look into the New York Times, though, as they've been reporting on this. Do you want to know how we actually found out where this guy was? Largely intelligence from the Kurds, who he just abandoned in Syria. And in fact, according to this piece written in the New York Times, we actually had to go through with this operation much sooner than we actually wanted to, simply because we were pulling all of our troops out of this area. There was a good chance this operation could have gone south in a real hurry, but we essentially had to kind of jump the gun and go ahead and go after this guy, al-Baghdadi, because all of our troops were leaving the area. If we had waited longer, we probably would not have had a chance to get him. So they largely were able to succeed in spite of the actions of Donald Trump in terms of what happened over in Syria. So, yeah, credit definitely goes to the military forces that were able to get this guy, but not so much to the president, since he actually seemed to make this a lot more dangerous than it actually should have been. And then you also have to couple the fact that killing this guy is probably just going to create some revenge attacks for ISIS, which I'm very afraid of is going to happen in the region, and hopefully not too many attacks around the world, in the United States, Middle East, anywhere. But yeah, you probably will see some revenge killings in terms of what's going to happen in the aftermath of the death of al-Baghdadi. Continuing along with this story, though, with what's been happening in Syria. So it turns out we're actually going to be sending a few hundred troops back to Syria, but not to protect the Kurds. Apparently, Trump has settled on this strategy of sending troops back to some areas of Syria to actually protect oil reserves, because of this philosophy that he has that actually kind of goes back to what he was talking about with the Iraq war back in 2003. And on the surface, this actually seems like a kind of a good idea until you actually do a little bit more digging into it. So he wants to actually send troops back in to secure these oil fields so we can profit off of the oil fields and pay back some of the costs that we've absorbed from having troops in Syria and the rest of the Middle East. Now, he actually said this back in 2003, when we had the invasion of Iraq, where he was saying that we should keep the oil, and if they are going into Iraq, keep the oil. They never did. They never did. That was a quote from him, I think, back in 2003, because his idea was actually selling off the oil to pay off some of the costs of war, which on the surface doesn't seem like a terrible idea, which kind of is a microcosm of the Trump administration, if you look at other issues like the Troy War, where overall, his reasoning for wanting to do something is actually kind of good, but his actual solution, not so good. Because the problem, while you could, yeah, certainly secure the oil and try to profit off of trying to sell it and get some money, is that, well, obviously you're going to annoy the governments that probably would like to have a claim to that oil that actually is on their land. And inexorably by doing that, you're probably going to create even more terrorists that are not going to, well, like your military or your country. And that's probably what we're also going to see happen with the Kurds as well. That's the one that really concerns me, not in the immediate future, but within the next 3, 5, maybe 10 years. You're going to get someone who is from Kurdish descent that is angry about what happened. They had a bunch of family members that got slaughtered because, well, they were abandoned by the military. And all of a sudden, they're going to come to the United States or even somewhere else around the world and, well, launch a terrorist attack. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Did you want to chime in on that, Sam? Looks like you had something on your mind there.
I was going to say, just it sounds like we're just like playing into that stereotype of like with the Iraq war, and which, I mean, I kind of believe is that we kind of did go there for oil.
Yeah.
And
kind of, I think entirely.
Exactly. Now we are really just like, yep, it's all about the oil and the profit for us.
Yeah, and he's essentially admitted this as well by saying we should secure the oil and use it to pay back some of the costs we've absorbed, which, again, not a bad idea on the surface until you do a little bit more digging and realize some of the unintended consequences of actually doing that. So, yeah, it turns out we actually are going to send a couple hundred troops back into certain areas of Syria. But, yeah, I just don't like this idea to the original point of us saying, well, credit where credit's due. No, don't give any credit to where credit's due, because they largely completed this operation despite Trump. And now, of course, we're going to have probably more problems in Syria if we start messing around with their oil.
Or I'd say we should give credit where credit's due. It's just not Trump is not worth the credit is due.
That's the false
Not
him, yeah. Probably the military for having to complete that operation on under very tough circumstances.
And as you mentioned, the Kurds, the people who we are essentially basically betraying, you know, and they are a big part of that.
Yeah, they were saying back in March, oh, yeah, he's in this part of Syria. And turns out they were absolutely right. So, yeah, they probably deserve a lot of credit in that as well. But this whole idea of, well, we're Democrats or we're liberals and we need to hold ourselves to a higher standard. This also has to do with something that happened locally in Minnesota 17 years ago. Because 17 years ago, I didn't have a chance to mention this on the Friday show. It was the anniversary of the death, of course, of Senator Paul Wellstone. He, of course, died 17 years ago on that Friday. Very, very sad day, of course. Definitely miss him in the Senate. But there's another anniversary coming up that has to do with Wellstone, and that's tomorrow. That is the anniversary, actually, of the memorial service for Paul Wellstone. Now, I was a younger person than back then. I was just a teenager, so I wasn't really paying a whole lot of attention to politics at this point. Sam, I think you're even a little bit younger than me, so yeah, this was probably a little before your time as well. But
I barely remember it, but I do remember it. But just
yeah,
barely.
You know where I'm going with this, right? Yeah, of course, we had a lot of controversy with his memorial service where his treasurer for the campaign, Rick Kahn, spoke on behalf of his close friend, Paul Wellstone, and basically said, help win this election for Paul Wellstone. That, of course, angered a lot of Republicans and also independent Governor Jesse Ventura, who actually ended up walking out of the memorial service. And this kind of goes back to what I was talking about just a moment ago of we can't be milquetoast on these issues and what Matt was saying in the last hour. Because, yeah, you actually had some Democrats, as I recall back then, saying, well, I guess Rick Kahn probably shouldn't have been saying that. But, of course, immediately after the service, Republicans pounced on this and absolutely made it political. If I remember correctly, they were even, I think, running ads. They were resuming their campaign as soon as that service was over, even though I think they had promised not to make it political. They were the ones that also made it political immediately after that service, and if anything, it's probably what actually caused Norm Coleman to win that Senate seat back in 2002. So this idea of saying, oh, well, we need to hold ourselves to a higher standard, that's fine and all to say, but make sure you're actually doing that to everyone, not just yourselves, because if you're just applying that higher standard to yourselves, of course, you end up getting burned like that and also, well, kind of looking stupid with that as well. So 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205, if you have any thoughts on what we've been talking about. want to talk about this switching gears now. This polling data I actually just pulled up from YouGov and Axios, who conducted a survey on whether people would be open to voting for someone who is calling themselves a socialist. And there was one area of this poll I was actually very surprised about. So not surprising at all, 70% of millennials said they would be open to voting for someone who classified themselves as a socialist. But here's the part that surprised me a lot more. Again, I'm not really too taken off guard by the fact that people who are from a younger generation are open to the term socialism, but Gen Xers kind of surprised me on this one. Almost half, 46% of Gen Xers said they would be open to voting for someone who calls themselves a socialist. That strikes me as being a lot higher than I would probably imagine. If I were making predictions, I probably would have said maybe 30% of people among Generation X would say they would be open to a socialist, while older boomers and, of course, even the people who are still from the silent generation, they would probably be down more towards the teens and the 20s. But very surprised to see Generation X up in the 40s in terms of whether they would consider voting for someone who calls themselves a socialist, because I think that could really come into play in probably not this election cycle, but within the next 10 to 20 years, as you see more boomers actually, and will unfortunately die off. You'll, of course, see a changing electorate where that probably won't be a dirty word anymore. I originally got into this cycle thinking that socialist actually would be a dirty word for Bernie Sanders, but if you're looking at this data, turns out people are actually much more receptive to the term than I actually imagined. Yeah, 44% for Generation X. That's a lot higher than I actually imagined. We're going to take a break and come back and talk about some more news here on the program. There's some other local topics I want to talk about, including this one on Colin Peterson. Did you know he's actually more liberal than we might actually give him credit for? I'm going to dive into his voting record and tell you why. It's kind of interesting to look at. That's on the way next here on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Imagine cyber criminals waiting outside your network, probing for weaknesses. What if you're next? Well, what if you had a team of experts to navigate you through these what-if waters? Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rymark with a unique offer, a free network security assessment. We'll uncover the hidden threats to your business and provide you with a map to peace of mind. Call 651-328-8900 or go to RymarkIT.com to schedule your free security assessment and stop drowning in what-ifs.
I'm Candy Broffel, publisher of the Twin Cities edition of Natural Awakenings magazine and host of Green Tea Conversations, a new show for people who are on a journey to take responsibility for their health and play a more active role in their family's well-being. Join me every Sunday at 10 a.m. as I interview local experts who share the latest in natural holistic approaches in a fun and informative way. So grab a cup of tea and join the conversation as we awaken to natural health. Visit us at naturaltwincities.com.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than just serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable. Serving part-time lets you attend school full-time while you take advantage of education benefits that can help you graduate debt-free. If a civilian career is your goal, serving part-time allows you to work at a full-time job. The skills, qualities, and contacts you'll develop in the Guard can open doors to a great civilian career. Want to serve but worried about being away from friends and family? Part-time service in the Army National Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want while you enjoy the many benefits of serving your community and nation. You owe it to yourself to learn more about how the Army National Guard can fit into your life. Visit NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Food nourishes us. We need food to live. But how are we nourishing the food system? Well, actually, we're throwing a bunch of chemicals and we're making the dirt dead, and then we're adding nitrates to the water and we're causing dead zones in the ocean. Oh, and we're also causing climate change. We do that with every bite we eat. But we can create something different. We can switch to a regenerative system. And that's what we talk about every week on Food Freedom Radio. So tune to Food Freedom Radio Saturdays at 8 a.m. or anytime via podcast. Food Freedom Radio on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambliot from Chambliot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office.
And I'm Rachel Chambliot. Did you know a lot of people are afraid of the dentist? You don't need to be afraid of my dad. He makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun.
We don't care if you're a dental regular or haven't seen a dentist in years. We just want to make you comfortable and get you out of pain.
If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
You're listening to AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Here on your Monday afternoon. Man, I already thought it was Tuesday. Still Monday, unfortunately. Still have 4 more days to go in the work week, but if you're out there listening and driving home, you probably have 4 more days left, but Sam and I still will have a little bit more of the workday left for us once we wrap up the 4 o'clock show here on AM 950. You know what would have made the baseball game even better last night in terms of having the president attend if it were at Yankee Stadium? Because the president, Donald Trump, actually is a pretty big Yankees fan. Of course, he was booed last night over at Nationals Park as he made his appearance for the World Series with lots of people chanting, lock him up, lock him up, lock him up. Man, could you just imagine if he had to go to Yankee Stadium for a World Series? Because I imagine he would have attended a game being that he, well, has been a New York Yankees fan for his entire life. That would just be awesome to see because they are very creative with their chants. Although Matt, I think, brought up a good point as we were chatting between shows. He was thinking Philly would probably treat him worse, which I imagine would be right. I mean, that's the only fan base that actually booed Santa.
In a perfect world, it would have been the World Series of the Yankees versus the Phillies.
And
he could have gone to both of them.
Yeah, and he would have had excuses to go to Philly because that were the Constitution. Yeah, there's a lot of a history. Historical reasons for him to go to Philadelphia. I'm just looking for reasons where we could have sent him there just to continually get booed. Yeah, they would have been very creative in their chants, but still didn't not exactly get a good reception in D.C. last night. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll get to Colin Peterson in just a second because I went through and looked at his voting record. Turns out he's actually more liberal than we would probably imagine, which flies in the face of an ad that's actually running against him that will be playing in just a second from his likely opponent, Michelle Fischbach. But first, I got to bring this up because I wish this thing was a program in Minnesota, about 10 years ago. So this is according to Fox News, but a new program, or a Fox 9, I should say, not Fox News, the actual local Fox affiliate. They say a new program launched by a Minneapolis nonprofit has some Twin Cities Metro Police Department not only cutting drivers a break, but also helping them make a repair. So what's happening is that whenever you get pulled over in Minneapolis and some surrounding suburbs that participate in this program that I'm going to tell you about, if you get pulled over for having a brake light that's out, they'll no longer give you a warning or even write you a ticket. They're actually going to give you a voucher to get a free fix for your brake light, which I would have appreciated a number of years ago. Because I used to drive my 2008 Jeep Liberty, which I absolutely loved, and there was something wrong with the wiring in my taillight because there was a period for about 3 or 4 months where that taillight kept going out like once a month or so, and I had to keep going to the same repair shop. They would put in a new brake light. I would continually tell them, there's something wrong with the wiring back there. No one could ever figure it out. So if I were to get one of these vouchers instead, yeah, I would be a lot happier. Apparently these vouchers, by the way, work at a number of places, including Bobby and Steve's Auto World. So there you go. If you have a tail light that's out, chances are you might actually get a voucher to get that fixed, which is probably fitting, being that we are heading towards wintertime, and it's certainly going to be a lot more difficult to see people when they're out there driving in less than ideal conditions. Looks like we do have someone up on the phone lines here, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll get to them in just a second, but you, of course, can also watch along over on Facebook, or you can email us, comment at am950radio.com. Hopefully, we'll be streaming to YouTube in the future as well, as we've been working on some ways to get going on that, as well as posting some special clips from both the Matt McNeil show and my show as well. So let's get to Colin Peterson and talk about him, because he, of course, is going to be facing what looks to be maybe a competitive race against Michelle Fischbach. She is the former lieutenant governor who actually ended up serving as Mark Dayton's lieutenant governor when he appointed Tina Smith to serve in the Senate after Al Franken resigned. So Fischbach is the candidate, the likely candidate, I should say, who's going to be running against Colin Peterson. I believe she does have a couple of primary challengers, but she has been putting out an ad against Colin Peterson that's been running for a couple of days now. And we're going to go ahead and play this now and react to this and then kind of give you my take on this and take a look at Peterson's voting record. But to set this all up, here is the audio from Michelle Fischbach's ad against Colin Peterson. We'll play just a portion of it so you kind of get the gist of it.
Since I announced I was running for Congress, the response I've seen across Western Minnesota has been very exciting. I have heard from so many of you about the change you want to see in Washington. I have heard from people who have lost hope in having a true conservative elected in Minnesota's 7th District. They feel stuck without a choice. Now is the time to choose. Do we want to block the president's agenda as Colin Peterson has? Or do we want to secure our borders and keep America great? Do we want to go deeper into the Washington establishment like Colin Peterson does? Or do we want a new voice from the heart of Minnesota who puts us first? Do we want to let AOC, Ilhan Omar, and the Socialist Squad run the show?
Of course, I have to bring them up.
Or do we want leaders to respect our values and honor the Constitution?
There you go. It's about another minute long. We don't need to listen to all of it. But she's basically saying Colin Peterson has been aligning herself with AOC and Ilhan Omar and blocking the president's agenda. Which, of course, if you're at home and someone who is a Democrat who pays attention to politics, your natural reaction would be to sit there and laugh and say, come on, are you kidding me? Colin Peterson being against conservatives? He's the most conservative Democrat in the House. Well, I've actually gone through and looked at some data in terms of Colin Peterson's votes, and turns out he might actually be more of a liberal than we give him credit for. So we're going to take an early break and come back and actually take a look at Colin Peterson's voting record, because there's some surprising issues he's actually been on the correct side with. So we'll talk more about that in just a moment, right after the news from Public News Service.
Welcome to the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Monday, October 28, 2019. I'm Dan Hyman. Wildfires have forced nearly 200,000 Northern Californians to flee their homes. Meanwhile, blackouts mean more than 2 million people could be without power until Wednesday. Democratic California Representative Katie Hill has resigned. Last week, the House Ethics Committee announced it was investigating whether Hill had a sexual relationship with someone on her staff. A new survey reveals major political concerns for Gen Z and millennials.
According to research from the Cause and Social Influence Initiative, climate change tops the list, followed by civil rights, immigration, health care reform, and mental health. Lead researcher Derek Feldman says they also asked both generations about their take on fake news.
77% view that fake news is real, and around 73% believe that the election will be influenced by fake news, particularly on some of these social issues.
48% of respondents said the country is off track, and 44% believe it's further off track now than before the 2016 election. For Public News Service, I'm Mary Sherman.
New legislation now before Congress is designed to jumpstart the shift from gas to electric vehicles, and to make sure that those vehicles are produced in the United States.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer has proposed a sweeping measure that he says could take 63 million gas guzzlers off the road by 2030. According to Luke Tanishel with the Natural Resources Defense Council, the proposal starts with offering rebates to encourage car owners to trade in their gas-powered vehicles for domestically manufactured electric cars.
All car buyers, there's even provisions for getting a used electric vehicle and additional incentives if you're low or moderate income.
He says the plan has the support not only of environmental groups, but labor unions and major automakers. The plan also would give federal help to build the millions of charging stations that would be needed to make electric vehicles a practical alternative. For Public News Service, I'm Andrea Sears.
This is PNS.
Minnesota state officials have been challenged with closing gaps in areas such as education and housing. But local business leaders are also hoping they'll notice that people of color have a harder time advancing on the job, especially women. One of those leaders pushing for change is Sharon Smith Akinsanya, CEO of a Twin Cities marketing firm.
And it's even worse for women of color because of the economic disparity, right? So when you think about child care, access to child care, access to revenue.
A 2018 study from the Women's Foundation of Minnesota found women of color were 20% less likely to be trained in management and professional fields than their white counterparts. Mike Bowen, Minnesota News Connection.
I'm Dan Hyman for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Total Dog Company exists for people who are serious about their dogs. People who want the best nutrition and the best gear for their dogs. Total Dog Company's mission is to provide high-quality, practical food and gear for dogs and only dogs. Nothing frou-frou or frivolous. Nothing with suspect ingredients. No cat food or wild bird food. Totally dog, from head to wagging tail. Find us in New Hope off of 169 at 9432 36th Avenue North and at TotalDogCompany.com.
Auto Technical needs your help to keep our transportation program going. Social agencies like Workforce Training Center, Tubman Shelter, they rely on our mission of providing transportation to families in need. Donations of vehicles are down 80% because of the new tax laws. We really need vehicle donations to continue our mission. Help us, please. Give a call to Richard at 612-919-5526, autotechnical.org.
With your AM950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Tonight's going to be cloudy with a low around 25. Tomorrow, sunny with a high near 40. Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 37. Thursday, partly sunny with a high near 38. And Friday, partly sunny with a high near 41. The Eat Local Minnesota Restaurant of the Week is Victor's 1959 Cafe, offering traditional Cuban recipes in a relaxed, casual, and festive Cuban environment. Come try the authentic Cuban pork barbecue sandwich at 3756 Grand Avenue in Minneapolis. More info at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Yikes, Sam. 25 is the low tonight?
Chilly, chilly.
That's cold. Whew. Heard it's going to be cold on Halloween as well, which will make it not very comfortable if you're trick-or-treating. Have kids that are trick-or-treating, of course. Or, yeah, it's just overall not going to be a fun time out there if you're accompanying your kids around the neighborhood. Do you get any trick-or-treaters where you live, Sam?
Yeah, there's a lot,
oh,
but
really?
Yeah. I won't be, I'm helping my partner move. She picked the right time to move, right when it's cold. So.
Exactly. My sister at one point moved in the middle of January, which was a terrible time to move, but probably a good time to get a good price on a home.
Right, at least like it's cold, but I'm glad she picked at least before the snow hits, so we can move without having to worry about all the snow.
Yeah, that would be a real pain, but whew, yikes, 25 the low tonight, and I think a rather similar temperature for a low coming up on Halloween evening, so you're not giving away any candy, are you? You'll be helping move.
Yep, I'll be helping move. I'm sure, like, my family, my parents, their neighborhood, they have tons of kids. They'll have a lot of
fun. I was going to ask if you're the type of person who buys the fun size for the trick-or-treaters or the full size.
I think my parents, because I haven't really given it out myself, but my parents do it every year, and they do like a fun size thing, but I've already seen them carving some pumpkins over at their house and everything, so they'll be festive. Yeah. I'm never as festive, but they will be.
In my old apartment building, I never once got a trick-or-treater, actually. I was only home for a couple of those, though. My new place is actually kind of a condo unit, so they actually have to go into one separate door, then they'd have to actually make their way up to a unit that actually only holds four different units inside, so I don't think I'll get any this year as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, my apartment building, like the neighborhood over there, lots of trick-or-treaters.
Yeah.
The building itself, not so much.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, it's a don't often see trick-or-treaters actually going into apartment buildings or condominiums or townhomes or places like that, usually only in the residential single-family home type units. All right, let's get back into politics because I don't know if you knew this, Sam, but Colin Peterson. He is a liberal stalwart of the U.S. House of Representatives. That is a phrase I thought I would never once say.
I was literally just going to say, I think that's the first time I've ever heard someone say that.
Colin Peterson, liberal stalwart. Well, I was looking this up because I saw this come through my news feed, that new ad played by Michelle Fischbach, and I initially kind of had the laughing reaction everyone else probably had. Really? He's sitting there blocking the Trump administration's agenda. It's kind of similar to what also happened a few weeks ago when I think he had some protesters at an office saying, don't impeach Donald Trump, don't impeach Donald Trump. And we were kind of joking and saying, Colin Peterson would probably come out there and join the protesters and saying, don't impeach Donald Trump, don't impeach Donald Trump. Well, it turns out, as I did a little bit more research, because I wanted to go through and look at what's called his Trump score. This is what's tracked by 538 and basically tells you how often someone who is a member of Congress votes for the president. Right now it's the Trump score. Of course, prior to him, they had the Obama score. So I initially went in thinking, well, gosh, Colin Peterson, his Trump score has to be at least 50, probably even closer to 60 or 70. I mean, he's okay on a few issues, but for the most part, he probably votes for the Republicans and the conservatives and Donald Trump. Turns out, actually, not the case. His Trump score for this congressional session, a 20. Only a 20, which very much surprised me. And in fact, 538 actually tracked all of his votes for the past 6 months, at least the significant ones, not necessarily the procedural ones, because you would have hundreds and hundreds of votes in there. And that's largely how sometimes you can get those scores kind of inflated or deflated, like when you sometimes hear, well, this person votes with the president 99% of the time. Well, a lot of that's actually because they're just going through procedural votes. But 538 does a nice job in actually tracking, well, the more substantive votes. So let's go through and actually see how Colin Peterson has voted, because I've actually been very surprised on some of the sides of the issues that he's taken, surprised in a good way. So how about this one right here? This was actually a vote he took a little over a week and a half ago, back on October 17th, requiring the Securities and Exchange Commission to study investor disclosures. President Trump was opposed to this. Colin Peterson actually voted yes. So there's that. How about this? This was a vote in the U.S. House from September 27th, overturning President Trump's emergency declaration for border wall funding. Obviously, President Trump would oppose that. Colin Peterson actually did vote to overturn Trump's emergency declaration for border wall funding. So, yeah, not bad on that. Now, there are three votes that I'm going to go through. His three previous votes were not so good. They mostly had to do with Arctic drilling and also some drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. Those issues he actually did join the president on. But there's actually some other votes that he took where he came down on the right side. How about this one? Establishing humanitarian standards for people in the custody of Customs and Border Patrol agents. That would be opposed by the president, actually supported by Colin Peterson. How about this one? This is the one that ultimately surprised me. I would never in a million years have thought Colin Peterson would have voted yes on this one. Taken on July 18th, raising the federal minimum wage to $15 per hour. He actually was a yes. I would not have guessed that. I thought for sure he would have been a no on that. How about one of these as well? Well, there's three votes that basically were condemning the sale of arms to Saudi Arabia. Donald Trump, of course, opposed to that. Colin Peterson actually said, yes, let's not sell arms to Saudi Arabia. Probably not a bad idea. What else do we have here? Condemning Donald Trump's comments about four congresswomen as racist. You remember that tweet he had over the summer where he was saying, send them back home? Well, it was overall just a very ugly thing. He actually voted yes in favor of calling them racist. So there's that. Yeah, very surprised by some of these votes that he's taken. There was one other I actually wanted to bring up. Yeah, this was back on May 22nd. This was a vote on reversing changes to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. He actually voted, yes, let's overrule the president in terms of making changes to the CFPB, the Consumer Protection Financial Bureau, because that has definitely been significantly weakened since 2017. So I was very surprised by this because I've been one of these people as well that gives Colin Peterson a hard time for being a very conservative Democrat. But if you actually go through and look at his votes, all things considered, he's actually not that bad of a representative when you consider his district. I mean, granted, some of these votes he's taken on the environment in terms of allowing drilling in the Arctic and also the Gulf of Mexico, yeah, that's certainly not a good thing. But overall, I mean, coming out in favor of raising the minimum wage to $15, strengthening the Consumer Protection Financial Bureau, also had this one as well in terms of voting to lower prescription drug costs and reversing changes to the Affordable Care Act. Yeah, he voted in favor of overruling the president on that one. So, yeah, he actually comes down on the right side on more issues than you might imagine. And when you picture CD7 as being a very heavy Republican district, that's not a bad guy to have in Congress that wins comfortably almost every single election. So I'm not saying that necessarily coming out with this preconceived notion that I was planning on coming on and talking about how great Colin Peterson was today. In fact, my original plan was to come on and talk about the opposite and saying, well, that's hilarious that Michelle Fischbach would be running these ads saying that Colin Peterson is blocking the president's agenda. Because of all things, Michelle Fischbach might actually be kind of right. He actually has been kind of thwarting the president's agenda in a good way, at least if you're someone who's a Democrat or a liberal. So, yeah, maybe changing your perspective there, hopefully, if you're listening and thinking about Colin Peterson, not as bad as we thought. That is a great campaign slogan for Colin Peterson at a Democratic convention, the CD7 convention. Hi, I'm Colin Peterson, and I'm not as bad as you thought.
See that on yard signs all over the place.
Colin Peterson, not as bad as you thought. Yeah, there you go.
Sounds like a Simpsons or a South Park
exactly.
Kind of thing.
I hope he uses that when he goes to a convention or if he were to ever face a very competitive primary. Colin Peterson, better than it could be. Although I like not as bad as you thought. So there you go. Colin Peterson again running for re-election here in 2020. I got a strange feeling, by the way. This is probably going to be the last election that he seeks. I doubt he's going to be running in 2022 since I've said that before. But his district will most likely not exist after the next census, which will be after 2020. Let's get to some other news in terms of what's happening in Congress and Democrats that represent districts that Donald Trump won in 2016. Obviously, Colin Peterson is among those representatives, but some interesting fundraising numbers came out. Turns out the Dems have actually outraised Republicans in districts that are represented by Dems where Donald Trump won, and it's actually been by a pretty wide margin, 14.3 to 6.08. And usually, of course, fundraising is not always the final word on who actually will win an election, but they usually are a pretty good indicator. So some interesting news there. And also some more fundraising money to talk about. And this one, well, this explains why this guy has been making it onto the debate stage, Tom Steyer. He has spent $30 million in TV and radio advertisements for his presidential bid in just the last month. $30 million. Yeah, no wonder he's been able to qualify for the presidential debate stage, because I have not found any poll where he's really been getting that 2 or 3%. I'm sure they've probably cherry-picked and found a few where he got to 2 or 3%. Or not necessarily cherry-pick. I mean, the DNC does have their list of approved polls, but there's probably a few, just the minimum that he needed. But, yeah, that probably explains how he's been able to get the number of individual donors, is that, well, if you're spending $30 million telling people, donate to my campaign so I can say I have an individual donor, that probably explains why Tom Steyer was actually able to make his way onto the debate stage, and he will also be qualifying for the November debate. But, yeah, $30 million, that is 7 times greater than even the second biggest advertiser in the presidential race. And guess who that would be? Not any Democrat, actually Donald Trump. He's actually spent more money on political advertising than the President of the United States over the past month. So there you go. That's why Tom Steyer has been making it out of the debate stage. And as I said, hopefully he will finally find a new tie that does not look Christmassy. Although by November, I guess it will be kind of in season. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. All right, up next, we are going to be talking trash about St. Paul, taking a look at this controversy with the idea of trash collection in St. Paul, because as we brought up at the top of the show, it is a very, very heated issue in that city. I, of course, don't have a dog in the fight. I live on the west side of the town, but we'll talk a little bit about that and take your calls up next here on the Repartee.
Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club is delighted to offer its spacious facilities for your private function. From weddings, retirement parties, business dinners, or any special occasion, Crooner's combines a dedicated full-service special events team, an award-winning chef, and a beautiful lakeside ambiance to make your event a resounding success. Visit croonersloungemn.com to learn more about their private dining options or call 763-571-9020 to get a quote for your next event today.
This is Gregory Rich, founder of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drink in the Style every Sunday at 5 p.m. You know, on the radio program, I often say that life is the big stuff, but living is in the details. The furniture in your home may be details, but that's where you do the living. So why not speak to one of Habitation's design professionals about making your space the best it can be? Habitation, 4317 Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park.
Native Roots Radio is proud to announce we've added an extra hour.
Yeah, Chuchke, 1 hour goes by too fast.
That's right, Uncle Curtis.
I'll have extra time to share important information about our sacred animals.
And report national and Native news from all over the country and Canada.
This new hour is sponsored by Robbins Kaplan LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m.
We are awake.
Marijuana legalization might not mean a lot to you professionally, but it may to your clients and employees, bankers and investors, property owners and landlords. Minnesota Lawyer has got your back with the CanCon Business Symposium on Wednesday, November 6th at the Depot, Minneapolis. Denver-based researcher, the Marijuana Policy Group, will present data on the economic impact legislation has had in Colorado and how that might translate to Minnesota. You'll hear from professionals in other states that legalized marijuana about what's at stake for you. Human resources professionals can learn about the effects on employees and how the hiring process could change. Attorneys will learn how to protect their clients. Commercial real estate brokers and agents will hear about investment opportunities from an expert panel. Speakers include Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey, Speaker of the House Ryan Winkler, and Senators Melissa Franzen, Jeff Hayden, and Scott Jensen, as well as several Minnesota business leaders. Learn strategies that work at the CanCon Business Symposium on Wednesday, November 6th at the Depot, Minneapolis. Register now at canconmn.com.
This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many listeners know that I founded Human Inspiration Works, LLC, which trains on human inclusivity and on how to be welcoming to diverse humans. Today, organizations of all sizes find that they need to train team members on diversity and inclusion. I can do that. Many say that my trainings change the way they see the world. I'd love to help make your organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
And we're back on AM 950, the 4 p.m. show. Brett Johnson joined along by Sam Turnberg and also Kate, who will hopefully be hearing on air in the coming days and weeks, as she always has a good perspective on politics as well. She's one of our producers in training that hopefully you'll be hearing from on the show. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. All right, so what's been going on in St. Paul? Well, if you live over there, you obviously know what's been going on. A big debate around trash collections. This idea of what the city of St. Paul came up with back in 2017 and then started implementing, which is basically having citywide trash collection, where it would be the city basically deciding who would collect your trash, rather than the old system where, as an individual homeowner or as someone who owned an individual business, you could pick your own trash collector. The logic behind it being, well, that they could maybe get better rates if everyone collectively put themselves together. In fact, there's some data showing that other cities in Minnesota have actually overall had their residents' trash costs go down by kind of pooling all of their resources together and having a citywide collection contract. But, of course, some people who still like the individual idea still like the idea of saying, well, we can go choose our own trash collectors and get a better rate. Or there's also some people who actually do kind of what's called, I don't know a better way to put it, but like group trash collection, where you can have four people basically pool all their trash in terms of where one person's lived to maybe save some money in that aspect. And under this new ordinance, that's not necessarily possible since, in essence, everyone gets billed, and they've basically also kind of divided the city in terms of which company will be doing the trash in what area to try to keep each company with the same market share that they currently have. Of course, this has been a very hot-button issue in St. Paul, and it's one that kind of fascinates me because in the grand scheme of things, trash, while it can certainly add up, trash collection it is, it's not exactly that much money out of your pocketbook at the end of the year, but it's certainly something that gets people really, really fired up. And Sam, you're talking about, you see those signs everywhere driving in the city of St. Paul. People are very, very opinionated on that issue. And a lot of money has been spent on this as well. And for a local ordinance, this is actually quite a bit. $37,000 has been spent on campaigning in terms of trying to get the ordinance either repealed or kept in place. The amount of people that oppose the ordinance have spent a little under $21,000. The people in support of the ordinance in groups have spent a little over $16,000. You do the math, that adds up to $37,000, with some companies even putting up some four-figure numbers. So definitely has fired a lot of people up. Now, if you live on the east side in St. Paul, love to give your thoughts on this. So give us a call here at the station. What's your opinion? Because I don't have a dog in this fight, and I don't know where I would necessarily stand on this, because I live in a condominium, which means I'm part of a homeowners association, which means I would kind of be more under the system where, well, we're all pooling our resources together and, of course, paying our trash that way. I don't get to choose my individual collector. So I guess I would be a little bit biased in that sense, in that I kind of like not having to think about my trash collection. I can just basically have it done by whichever company is contracted by the HOA. And that's a lot different than being able to individually choose where you bring your trash. But I can see the other side, too, because when I was working small-town radio, I actually rented a house. And one of the things I liked about the house is that, well, I had a garbage dump that was only about 2 miles from me. So rather than actually pay for trash collection, I would drive my car and drop off the trash at the actual dump, which actually saved me not a lot of money, but still enough to get some extra spending money every once in a while, which is nice when you're getting your first job in radio, because hint, hint, you don't make a lot of money in your first job in radio. Well, you don't make a whole lot of money in radio anyways, period, unless you're Rush Limbaugh or Tom Bernard or someone like that. In fact, I don't even think Tom Hartman really makes a whole lot of money as well. So yeah, you got to be a really lucky to make a lot of money in radio. But anyways, yeah, back to my point. I did enjoy that aspect when I lived in Iowa, and I could just bring my trash to the dump and save quite a bit of money. But yeah, when you don't necessarily live by a dump, or you don't want to actually drive your car somewhere, yeah, it is kind of nice to maybe have everyone actually in the city have an actual contract for all of the residents, because as it's what's been shown in some other suburbs and even the city of Minneapolis, well, you actually end up with a little bit lower costs altogether as compared to where everyone would go through and individually decide how they want their trash handled. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Want to hear your perspective, though, if you live over in St. Paul and have any opinions on this trash collection issue, or maybe if you live in one of the suburbs that has the citywide contract on trash collection, and what you overall think about it, and whether you would want to go back to being able to individually pick your trash hauler. But let's go to the phone lines, because Gary in Minneapolis wants to go back and talk about, well, the person we were talking about in the last segment. That would be Colin Peterson. Hey there, Gary, what do you think about Representative Peterson?
Well, same old hypocrisy, you know, you hear from these Republicans. When they call us something, they're basically talking about themselves, you know. You know, John Adams, at the beginning of the country, we were the rabble. You know, most of us didn't have a right to vote. Just white men with property could vote. And we were the rabble to him, and the big boys were still the rabble. And, you know, they call these four women the squad, because they're sticking up for the people that want to get a decent life. But I'm just going to say, you know, when I heard you talking about that, about Colin Peterson blocking things, I was thinking about the such hypocrisy of the face of the Republican Party, Mitch McConnell, you know, one-term president, and stealing our judge, you know, they just put it right in your face, and it makes me so angry.
All right. Thanks so much for the call there, Gary. Do appreciate it, and hopefully we'll talk to you on tomorrow's program. So, yeah, going back to what's happening in St. Paul, though, yeah, that vote will be taking place on next Tuesday, which will be November 5th. Couple other big local elections are also taking place. I know there's some pretty heated races in terms of the school board over in Minnetonka, as I actually have an acquaintance who is running for the school board over there, basically completely getting into the race just because of the overcrowding and open enrollment issue. Bloomington has a very heated mayoral race between the current mayor, Tim Bussey, and the challenger, Ryan Kulka. The big hot-button issue there in Bloomington has to do with the response Bussey had to a police shooting from earlier this year, with opponents of him saying he didn't do enough to actually kind of quell the concerns that some of the citizens had in that area. And then also St. Louis Park has some elections. And by the way, thanks to our caller from the Matt McNeil Show, I had no idea St. Louis Park had decided to go with ranked choice voting. So good for them, St. Louis Park. I thought Minneapolis and St. Paul were the only two cities in the state that ended up going with ranked choice voting, but glad to see that's made its way into the city of St. Louis Park. And I think as I was looking through, I was doing some quick research before I came on the show. I believe this is the first election, at least at the municipal level, where they will be using ranked choice voting. Okay, one more story before we wrap up our program for today. And this was a press release that was put out from the Minnesota DFL. And that had to do with the fact that they have come out in favor of raising the tobacco age from 18 to 21. And they join also Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka, who said he's open to having a genuine debate about raising the age of tobacco sales to 21, with his big issue being vaping. That's a big concern for him in terms of why he's actually open to the idea of raising the tobacco age to 21. So
I just find it funny that it's vaping that pushed him over the edge. Not cigarettes, but vaping's what pushed him over the edge.
Yeah,
okay.
Vaping, exactly. And I was going to bring up as well, I mean, yeah, I guess I could probably be in favor of raising the age to 21, but still no action on a much bigger public health threat than vaping. Cigarettes is certainly one of them, but how about guns?
And guns. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Nothing on guns whatsoever. But here we are freaking out about vaping. Again, yeah, something we probably should have a debate about, but it's nowhere near the amount of damage that has been done as opioids or guns or tobacco. Nope, it's vaping that's apparently pushing people over the edge. But yeah, it looks like we very much could have a real chance of getting that age raised to 21, being that the House DFL put out a press release today saying they're in favor of it, and now Senate Majority Leader Gazelka says he's in favor of it too. We'll talk to you tomorrow on the program. See you then.